everything that we're doing from now until Passover will be, and everything you should be doing in your groups is the preparation for the Passover. Well, that will include the high places, the asset tie that we've talked about, the plagues. But your job is to make it feel as though they're experiencing what you're studying. Last night, while in Bananas, we've been talking about that the table that the Gentiles eat at is the table where they sacrifice to demons. And we've talked about how that in the temple, your stomach is the altar. And that's why in the Hebrew the word akal to eat is akal, meaning to burn. And what you eat is in essence what's burned on that altar, the burnt altar. And that's why Christ said all these wild things about, and again, from a theoretical standpoint, where you eat is where you get your sustenance. And what we're going to look at tonight is several references to the reason that Israel was destroyed is because they were eating in the high mountain or in the high place. You don't want to do that anymore. Now, there are two sections of Scripture that more than anything that I've ever read, I believe was written for us now. One of them we're going to read right now, and the other one we'll read in a minute. The first one is, the section is Ezekiel 20, 27 through 44. So pay attention. This is God talking to you. Therefore, son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me, in that they have committed a trespass against me. For when I brought them into the land, for the which I lifted up mine hand to give it to them, then they saw every high hill, and all the thick trees, and they offered there their sacrifices. And they presented the provocation of their offering. There also they made their sweet savor, and poured out there their drink offerings. Then I said unto them, what is the high place whereunto you go? And the name thereof is called Bama unto this day. Why does God come down so hard on trees? Remember Jeremiah earlier said, look up onto the hill and tell me which tree that you haven't committed adultery under. Here it talks about they saw the high hill and all the thick trees, and they offered there their sacrifices. What is this mystery about trees? The tree of life versus the tree of the knowledge of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil? The grove, which is a dead tree, and the women weave hangings for the grove. God doesn't like trees a lot. I'm not going to tell you. Wherefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, are you also polluted after the manner of your fathers? And commit ye whoredom after their abominations? For when you offer your gifts, when you make your sons to pass through the fire, you pollute yourselves with all your idols, even unto this day. And shall I be inquired by you, O house of Israel? As I saith the Lord God, I will be inquired of by you. Now what do you mean?
Why would God say that he's not going to be inquired of by you? We're dealing with sincerity here. God, this is God's sincerity speech, preachment. Whenever you are in a position, remember when Israel was in the wilderness, the manna was there with no effort on their part. The manna satisfied every desire of their heart, unless there was guilt or idolatry. When there was idolatry or guilt in them, then your instant response is to inquire of God.
Why does that seem like you would?
No, your instant response is to say, what can I do, Father?
Square this away.
The reason that God will not be inquired of by you is because you have all that is necessary to obey now. You understand?
Right, so.
Now this is universally true. But the farther we go in the walk, the less he will be inquired of by you. Remember, the end result of all this is God wants you to want what he wants without him telling you.
Like when to kick the door?
Yeah. Are you in a position where you feel badly about something? Don't waste your time inquiring of God. Don't waste your time inquiring of me. Turn from your idolatry and let the blood cover the guilt. But God, can you make it sound sincere?
As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all. You see the relationship? I will not be inquired of by you, and that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all. What will come into your mind?
Usually some solution to make peace or some kind of rectification kind of thing.
Some plan, some imagination to gain life. And that which shall come into your mind shall not be at all. This is big stuff. It's written to us. 90% of the people who read that wouldn't understand what it means because they haven't lived what we've lived.
99%.
Right? They wouldn't, first of all, I wouldn't know what the hell it means, where, and the name thereof is Bama unto this day.
What is Bama?
High place.
We can read it right here. Yes, no,
I've been reading the High Place Notebook.
All right. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all. That you say, we will be as the heathen. In other words, we will return to the mind of the Gentile.
Yeah.
We will accomplish our own salvation. We'll put God's name on it. And we'll make it the glory of man. But the man is like the grass, and the glory of man is like the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because you've taken the name of the Lord in vain. You've put His name on that which cometh into your mind. You've made Him the chief among the Balaam. You don't want to do that anymore. We will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries, to serve wood and stone. You understand, money is a wooden idol? It's really dumb, stupid, wooden idol. Now some of you are finding hay and stubble idols. Appearance is a hay and stubble idol. Intelligence. Appearance is a stubble idol. Intelligence is a hay idol. Money is a wooden idol. Oh, I don't worship it. Right. There's no excuse to worship wood, hay, and stone. There's no excuse to worship the pillars any longer. There's no excuse to worship the molten images any longer. There's no excuse for you to be in a position which denies the resurrection of Christ within you at any given instant. You are without excuse. That's the scary part. I thank you, Father, that you have hid these things from the wise and the prudent, but have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Had I not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now you have no cloak. You have no cloak for any of the idolatries that are common to everyone in your culture, in your world. You have absolutely no cloak. Not for appearance, not for intelligence, not for respect, not for money, not for the emotional idols, not for the way the thing should be. Nothing. You're without excuse. That's why God says, I shall not be inquired of by you. All that's necessary has been given to you. You got it? As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out, will I rule over you. You mean, think about this. God's about to take us to the threshing floor. Watch. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. So will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. Hallelujah.
I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond, the oneness, the exclusiveness of the bond of the covenant. I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. Now, the place where you pass under the rod in the Talmud is called the threshing floor. Doesn't matter where it is. Wherever it is, it's the threshing floor. Now, what happens there? Tell us.
Josh.
And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. And I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. I told John today that I don't care if there's three of us left after we go through the process. We, as far as I can determine, there has been, what we are about to do has not been done for 2,000 years. It's a heavy responsibility. But it's called the threshing floor. Now, so he's purged us from the rebels, them that transgress against him. Now, some good news. Well, it's a little bit more bad news.
Relatively, it's good.
I'm going to put reading ahead in case you want to stop at any one of these.
As for you, O house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, go ye, serve ye, everyone his idols. It's time to do what it is you got to do. You know who I'm talking to. It's time that you are in or you're out. It's time that you stop making the promise to the Father, backing away, smiling at him, while you have no intent of completing it. It's better to say no. There is no room for sincerity at this point. You're either in or you're out. We've reached a point where the very act of abiding is not sufficient. Understand? As for you, O house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, go ye and serve ye, everyone his idols. And hereafter also, if you'll not hearken unto me, but pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and your idols. What is your gift? The gift that you've been trying to give is I present my body a living sacrifice. But you can pollute that no longer. I don't hear any amens.
What do you mean by we've been trying to give our body a living sacrifice?
It's polluted.
Giving polluted gifts?
You're giving the polluted gift on the altar. By you say the table of the Lord is...
Oh. Yeah.
For in mine holy mountain, in the mountain of the height of Israel, saith the Lord God, there shall all of the house of Israel, all of them in the land, serve me, and I will accept them. And there will I require your offerings and the first fruits of your oblations with all your holy things. And I will accept you with your sweet savor when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries wherein you have been scattered. And I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for which I lifted up mine hand to give it to your fathers. And there shall you remember your ways and all your doings wherein you have been defiled. And you shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that you have committed. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have wrought with you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings, O ye house of Israel, saith the Lord God. I will accept you with your sweet savor. You understand the relationship of the high place? The passing under the rod. It's tied intimately. The high place is only intellectual until then.
Yeah. Once you've seen it all destroyed and it's all revealed for what it is, then at this point, you're passed under the rod by God, and he says, what do you want to do now? Now that you see who you are and what your identity is and what you've been doing.
Okay, Jeremiah 33.
It's a pretty tough set of scriptures.
I didn't understand that last part. The relationship between the high place and the
high place activity and the high place warfare that we've been accomplishing this far has all been intellectual. Until we go to the next step.
Then a little bit.
Is it real?
Experiential.
Yeah.
Okay, now Jeremiah 33. Remember, you just said that I shall not be inquired of you. Do you really understand what that means?
I don't understand that. The high place stuff so far has not been experiential.
It hasn't cost you anything.
It's been an experience, yeah.
It's been experienced, but not experiential. It hasn't cost you anything.
Talking about physical goods.
Just keep your finger in. Jeremiah.
Serving God with your heart and soul and mind, like we've been in the heart and we're moving.
It has to do with the movement into. Remember that we studied last time about Ezekiel, and you started out in the outer court, and you moved. Well, now we're just about to move past the treasury. Understand?
I think, and that will cause a.
I'm not saying that what happened before.
Manifestation of the high place bullshit.
Yeah.
More real or.
Yeah, it'll be. The test will be more severe it'll be easier for the seed.
Is this like in the hot seat things in the past, what you've basically done is taunted that high place thing to stick its head out? The passing under the rod will be an even stronger version of that?
It can cut his head off. Where's the rich hand ruler?
18:27.
Yeah. Yeah.
Under rulers, rich.
Let's go to Matthew 19.
What would you say?
Matthew 19. Verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. When the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? And Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto him, unto them, Verily I say unto you that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you shall also sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or fathers, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now,
Jesus passed him under the rod.
He got passed under.
Without any preparatory teaching or anything.
Wow. That didn't sound like no 10%.
You understand?
Thanks.
I mean, not really, but it's sufficient.
All right. Jeremiah.
If you want to ask any more.
So like the 10%, whatever it is that's taken, will be the head of the identity sticking up, that, you know,
yeah,
that's what needs to be taken. That's what the priest would choose, you know, the best that you think is the best. There's something for
it. Good.
It's that head and the rest is in line.
That's wild, because it was the best that was supposed to be offered in the first fruits anyway. And that,
I'm going to bring all my books and box the back of the car. Don't
get any ideas.
Yeah, I mean, I still don't think that some of you understand the very basis of what we're about. And that is that there is no condition, there's no situation for which you can be confronted with that it isn't God doing it.
Yeah.
And that your only response to that situation, no matter whether it's positive or negative, no matter whether it's fear or whatever, no matter what it is, your only response is to see the Father. Now, what you do when you don't do that is you turn your back on God.
The moment you enter into alliances with the world, alliances with your mind, you literally are turning your back on God, because it's just like you're walking away. Now, in Jeremiah, starting 32. Verse 30, or verse 29. The Chaldeans that fight against this city shall come and set fire on this city, and burn it with the houses upon whose roofs they have offered incense unto Baal, and poured out drink offerings to other gods to provoke me to anger. For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth, and the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, saith the Lord. Do you understand? I mean, this is big stuff. That's all he's saying. That's all they've ever done, is to provoke me to anger.
And it's by the work of their hand, by exercising their own strength.
Yeah. For this city hath been to me as a provocation of mine anger and of my fury from the day that they built it even unto this day, that I should remove it from before my face. Because of all the evil of the children of Israel and of the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets, and the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and they have turned unto me the back and not the face. Though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. But they set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. Your abominations are what's set in the house. Not some act or thing, but it's the continuum of your thoughts, plans, ambitions, ideas. You got it? This is a house that belongs to the Father.
Amen. Yeah. Something you said a minute ago really hit me. You make alliances with your mind. It's like when I heard you say it was you, meaning Christ, Israel, cavort with the Antichrist and make deals or agreements. And in that alliance, turn them away from God.
Amen.
Seek to do your thing.
Amen. And they set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to defile it. And they built the high places of Baal. Now, all that Baal means, you don't understand that. I mean, this isn't any big deal. There's a million Baals. Baal just means possessor, false god. The word Baal means possess. And they built the high places of Baal. Now, the problem is where the high places are. I mean, if you could see where they were, you'd run from them. The high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom. They're in Gehenna.
They're what ought to be out in the draught anyway.
There are, they're already there.
But we're trying to, we're going out and putting a special name on the trash.
We even bring it home sometimes.
To cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Moloch.
We're saving for years.
Now that's what you do. It doesn't just matter with your natural children. We're talking the spiritual children. Well, the one thing I pray is that I haven't passed you through Moloch. But I haven't demanded you to act in any certain way. But I commanded them not, neither came into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. And now therefore thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city, whereof you say, it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries whither I have driven them, in mine anger, and in my fury, and in great wrath, and I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart, and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good. I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. And fields shall be bought in this land, whereof you say it is desolate without man or beast. It is a land given to the Chaldeans. Men shall buy fields for money and subscribe evidences and seal them and take witnesses into the land of Benjamin and the places about Jerusalem and the cities of Judah and in the cities of the mountains and in the cities of the valley and in the cities of the south, for I will cause their captivity to return, saith the Lord God. Now, again, the thing that sets us, you can believe that he's talking about the land of the physical Israel over there. Now, the reason it's more than just Jerusalem is because you don't always live on the mercy seat. No matter how much we'd like to, you get off and walk around. Well, I don't want you to walk any other place than the promise. All right. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not.
So this is...
Is that inquiring of him?
To the inquiring.
Yeah.
It's not about Steph, it's to see the what is.
See, you, for most part, all that man is capable of doing until we get to the point of the destruction of the high places is to make faith a commodity. And so people teach how to get more faith, to get more stuff, even get more promises. But whatever it is, it only can be a commodity. And you don't want to be, that's not what faith is. So we have to destroy the high places so you can see the abandonment, so you can see that faith is the aspect by which you live in everything, not some specialty item that you go out in currency and you go into this spiritual supermarket and buy stuff. It's the basis upon which your whole 24 hours a day is lived. It's the high places that cause this not to take place, but to be segmented. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when the high places are destroyed, when you've passed under the rod, then you call on the name of the Lord simply because you're only aware of Him and others. There's no awareness of self any longer. And at that point, He will show you great and wonderful things, things you've never even dreamed of.
Somehow that thing, inquiring of Him, somehow that feels like in Revelation, living deliciously, or when Agag
living delicately. Yeah.
It's like, oh, by the way, can you tell me how to do this?
Yeah. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city, and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mouths and by the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with the dead bodies of men whom I have slain in mine anger and in my fury, and for all those wickednesses have I hid my face from this city. Behold, I will now bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and I will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Now that sounds pretty neat. Thus saith the Lord God, again there shall be heard in this place, which you have said, or you say, shall be desolate, without man and without beast, even in the city of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man and without inhabitant, without beast. The point is, do you understand what he's saying? You don't really believe that you're in the city. You think the city is without you and without life. I think I'm talking to the ceiling.
You've been going real fast the last
Do you understand? You don't really believe that you are an inhabitant of Jerusalem. You believe in something else. You may have snuck up. You've snuck. You know. You've peeked in every once in a while, but you don't believe you live there.
Yeah.
And so you're saying it's a desolate place.
Yeah.
Hmm. Because it's not where. I can't say this. I'll get confused.
To not believe that is iniquity. That's what iniquity.
When the New Testament says that you are seated with God in Christ in the heavenlies, there's only one place that God and Christ are seated. And if you're seated there with them, by definition, you have to be seated on the mercy seat in the temple in the New Jerusalem. There's no other place that you can be. But you don't believe that. Your actions have proven you don't believe that, because you truly believe that you are still somewhere else, and that city is at the best inhabited by ghosts or something in the future, but it is now, in fact, desolate. Am I communicating?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, you don't want to believe that anymore. In that New Jerusalem, which is Revelation 21, which is here, which is all over the Scriptures, it's a place of joy, of gladness, of the sound of the bride, the sound of the bridegroom. It's not a place in which, and it's a place in which it can, nothing, you can never be moved.
Yeah.
All right. In verse 11, well, that's what it says, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness. Well, let me start at 10. Thus saith the Lord, again, there shall be heard in this place, which you say shall be desolate, without man, without beast, even in the city of Judah, the streets of Jerusalem, that are desolate, without man, without inhabitant, without beast. Now, again shall be heard in this place the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts. For the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return, or to shub, the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. Again, or thus saith the Lord of hosts, again in this place, which is desolate, without man, without beast, and in all the cities thereof shall be a habitation of shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down. In the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the vale, and in the cities of the south, in the land of Benjamin, and in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, saith the Lord. That's the rod. You got it? That's intimately connected with hearing, living, abiding in the New Jerusalem, hearing the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the sound of the bride, the sound of the bridegroom. You understand me?
Yeah.
All right, now watch. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord. The day is now, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, now, will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name wherewith she shall be called. Jehovah Tsidkenu, or the Lord our righteousness, or the Lord is our only rightness. You can't call, remember we've talked about, the last time we met we talked about Jehovah Shalom, or was that in Bananas?
Just Bananas.
Oh. You can't call him Jehovah Shalom until you know that there is nothing against you. You can't call him Jehovah Tsidkenu, or I can't pronounce it, that's close enough. Look, Jehovah our rightness, until you have stopped having the need to be right yourself.
This is a pretty wild verse for showing the oneness of Israel and the Lord.
Amen.
It's saying the Lord is Israel. Israel is the Lord. It's called the Lord.
Amen.
That's a pretty wild thing. I've never seen it.
You understand? She shall be called the Lord.
And the other one, he said, I'll glorify myself in you.
And then it goes on, but for thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Well, either that's a lie, or you have to believe that. I mean, there hadn't been somebody sitting on the throne of the house of Israel for 2,000 years or more. David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Well, you either believe that or not. That's what all of the British Israelites say.
Like King of the Gypsies or
something. No, they say that the
Holy Grail shit and all that.
Well, worse. It's the Celts and the British are
the kings
that are sitting on the throne of Israel. But then they have a problem, because neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings. And he said, the British Israelites, if you don't know anything about it, you don't know what I'm talking about. The British Israelites don't finish that next verse. Neither shall they want a priest or a Levite to offer burnt offerings.
No, that means that they don't want one, so they don't have one.
No, it means they probably pay a fucking fortune to get a Levite. Just wait.
And to kindle meat offerings, and they do sacrifice continually. And the word of the Lord came out of Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, if you can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David, my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne with the Levites, the priests, my ministers.
Yeah, this is so... It just speaks of blindness that... I know it's been before me of sin. A kingdom that God says is here. Is a mighty kingdom. Is a king, with princes and that it's here now, and has been treated like beggar rags. Like it's a.
He doesn't care if the world treats it like beggar rags.
Yeah, but
the problem is we do.
But we have not seen it.
Right. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David, my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me.
No more overworked Levites.
You understand? Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, considerest thou not what this people have spoken, saying, the two families which the Lord has chosen, he hath even cast them off. Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. Thus saith the Lord. You understand? He's saying that Israel and Judah have been cut off, and therefore the Gentiles, or the senses, will always say it isn't there. You understand that?
Yeah.
Where is the evidence?
Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob, and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will cause their captivity to return, and have mercy upon them.
I'm going to stop.
I feel like stopping anyway.
My mind is like...
It sounds good. Is that right? Is that good? That's good.
Again... The only time this asset tithe and the passing under the rod kind of thing for that has been accomplished is in times of great apostasy. When it was paid and when it was accomplished, then great fear came upon all the disciples, and great power of his resurrection came upon all the world. And Ananias and Sapphira were not the only ones that got wiped out at the asset tithe time. The Talmud's full of them. No, you don't.
The only ones that get wiped out are the rebels.
Yeah. And they can't hear that, so you like to be alive to hear that.
If you're worried about it, don't worry about it.
So take it, big guy.
Oh, yeah, take it, big guy.